Is this frequency open? Is this frequency open? CQ, 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 WX0, MIK, Whiskey X-Ray 0, Mike India Kilo. CQ, 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 WX0, MIK. Hello and welcome to the next edition of the Mike Wills Podcast. This is the Dog Days of Podcasting edition for August. I should have this prepared ahead of time. 15th, 2019. You can call it halfway through. Yes, 31, not exact math, but close enough. Halfway through the Dog Days of Podcasting season. I am WX0MIK, otherwise known as Mike Wills. And for this year, we are covering amateur or ham radio. So section 6.3 is where we are at today. And as a technician licensee, you're more likely to make a lot of contacts through some sort of a local repeater or repeater system. So the first part of the book, they start talking about how to find repeaters. They kind of cover different ways of doing it themselves in here. Mostly what I would recommend if you're looking for repeaters in your local area, there are two apps that are widely used on that. The first app is called Repeater Book. It's completely free, and a lot of people, when I even put a poll out there, like, what do people use? They're using Repeater Book. So the official directory of the ARRL, and there's like four other groups, is another app called R-Finder, and that one, the application itself works pretty good. The website is absolutely horrible, and you have to pay for it, and it's not overly cheap. I think it was like $30 a year or something like that. I paid for 1 year, and I probably won't pay for a second one. Generally, if it's not really in repeater book, you probably don't need to overly worry about it. It will eventually find its way in there, and then you'll find it there eventually. So within this, when you start to program your radio, there are various repeater offsets or shifts that you set up in your radio, because remember, repeater is really listening on one frequency, and it's transmitting at the exact same time on another frequency. So usually when they are giving you the frequency, what they're doing is they're giving you the receiving frequency, and then they usually denote the transmit offset, which can be either positive number or a negative number. And then how much it offsets is really based upon the band, or in some cases, just how the person set it up, which is kind of weird. But most, so let's just stick to the standard handhelds. So if you're working with like a 2 meter system, usually it's a plus or minus 600 kilohertz. And that depends on where it falls into the bands usually. And in 70 centimeter, your UHF, it's usually plus or 5 megahertz. Those have held up pretty close to standard. So the book will kind of talk a little bit more about that. The other thing that they do mention in here is some of the slang, if you want to call it, that hams will use. And I'm starting to understand it, or starting to put numbers together. So in the book, they use an example. Hams will say, meet you on the 443.50 machine. Okay, well, that would make sense. I tune in the 44.50. It's probably a positive 5 megahertz offset, and I can start talking on there. And then another case is, and this is what I hear more often, is let's move to the 49 repeater, or yeah, 94 repeater is what the book says. 94. What's 94? So if you're familiar with the area, that would be 146.94. So they're only using the last two, three digits. In my area, it's a 650 and the 24 or 240, depending upon who's talking. So it gets a little tricky, especially when you first start. You just kind of have to kind of work with it and map it in your head, per se. So I mentioned the other night, and I did not realize this was in here, so I would have held off on that, is linked repeater systems. So I mentioned the other night how Florida has a linked repeater system that is statewide. There are other different ways of linking them, but you do have to be careful when you're on these repeater systems because you could potentially be transmitting across multiple repeaters across the entire state, entire area. Maybe, probably not as likely, but across the entire nation. So you really got to be conscious of that because you don't want to be sucking up valuable repeater space for just a rag chew. Rag chew is just rant, just talking. And long-term talking. In fact, I think there's an award for rag chewing, I guess. I don't know. Contests don't really appeal to me right now, but that'd be part of that, I think. So we talked about the offset on your repeater. The other thing that's important to know is that a lot of times you need an access tone. So what is an access tone? It is an inaudible tone that gets played every time you hit the transmit button. And then the repeater picks that up and says, oh, you're trying to access me. I will retransmit this. So what this is good for is let's just say you have a couple of repeaters on very similar frequencies, maybe even the exact same frequencies. And they're not linked, but you're trying to transmit to this one particular one. Well, you want to make sure you're hitting the right one and not having the other one transmit as well. So you put an access tone in there and you make sure it's unique to the area so that you can then just contact that one particular repeater rather than accidentally hit three or four of them that you did not intend to. So those are inaudible tones. Those can be sub-audible tones, I guess. So those can be configured in your radio and it will automatically transmit those when you hit the push to talk. And that is usually included in the configurations within like Repeater Book and R-Finder. Or on the club sites and stuff. It's usually a well-known thing. It used to be that those tones were used for when you want to keep a repeater private. Now you almost need to because there's just so many. I think in my hometown, we're talking six or seven repeaters, if I remember right. And that is just in the immediate area. And then you start talking to area cities, which are reasonably close. You know, you're adding several more. So it's really important to make sure that you're programming it correctly because otherwise you could be transmitting, no one will hear you. And same thing with your offset. If you don't have your offset correct, they're not going to hear you, but you'll go on real receive stuff. The last part in this chapter is talking about digital repeater systems. So there's various ones. We've kind of talked a little bit about some of these in the past. So the IRLP, or Internet Radio Linking Project, is one of them. I'm going to cover these as I understand them. So as I understand IRLP, and I have not tried it myself because I don't want to do it wrong, and so if you want to call it that. Through your analog radio, you can punch in a code to activate the system, And then you can punch in a unique identifier for each repeater within the that has the IRLP. And then you can put out your call to whatever you're connected to and listen in. And so the area in your area hears it, and that area would hear it. Again, I haven't really tried it because a repeater that has it is usually pretty busy. And I'm not sure. Well, I'll cover some of the other reasons here in a minute because they all kind of fall into the same category. So ultimately, I'm afraid that if I try, no one's going to answer anyway, and then it's going to be not worth the effort. So the next one that they mention here is Echolink. Now, Echolink is another old voice-over internet protocol technology. So each so they kind of link them both together here. Each one is called a node within this network. Echolink is kind of neat because there's an app for that. So you can literally start connecting to all these nodes and actually start to talk to people. Honestly, I have yet to actually make a contact on Echolink. So I don't know. Oh, wait, I did listen to that on Echolink. So I guess I didn't talk because it was a tornado, or not tornado, hurricane net, and I didn't. I was like, I'm just going to listen this time. Otherwise, those two are kind of the oldest technologies. At least Echolink has an app for that, so you can use your your phone to do ham radio. The next ones are more proprietary. So you have Wires 2, which actually is not Wires X or 10, I'm not sure which, is a proprietary system of the Yazoo company, which is a radio manufacturer. You have D-Star, which is based on the public D-Star standard, which is primarily, as I understand it, is ICOM brand radios. And then you have DMR, which is a little bit more crossband radios, but it's still it's not 100% compatible with anything else. So all three of those, they're not compatible to each other. Echolink, I'm not sure how that works over the radio. So sorry, can't explain that one much more than that. But ultimately, what happens with these digital repeater systems is you have your antenna and your local repeater, and then it's hooked up to a PC of some sort or server or whatever, and then it's hooked up to other repeaters via the internet. In simple terms, that's about what it is. So DMR is kind of cool. Wires, I haven't done much with, and same thing with the Yazoo stuff. So what I would do is go through this, learn some of this stuff. It is important to know, and then move on to the next step. So, holy cow. Talk longer than I thought it would. So, repeaters in general, once you got them figured out, it's pretty easy. It's wrapping your head around it at first because it can be a little confusing at first. But once you get it figured out, it makes sense. Now the trick is actually programming your radio and learning how to program your radio so it works. So tomorrow we are talking nets. And so I will replay a recorded net that I did. I guess that is all for now. So I really appreciate everyone who's listening. And until tomorrow, 73 from WX0MIK. The frequency is now clear.
The frequency is clear. WX0MIK 73.